This morning, we're going to be looking at Psalm 90. And Psalm 90 may be familiar to some of you, at least a portion of the psalm, some verses that we often quote. And so if you'd take your Bible there. This is a prayer of Moses. It tells us here, right at the beginning of the psalm, a prayer of Moses, the man of God. If you'll remember, Moses is the one who, as a little baby, was put by his parents in the bulrushes down by the river. Pharaoh's daughter found him. He ended up being basically adopted into Pharaoh's house. And you'll remember at that time, all the little Hebrew babies were supposed to be killed, all the little boys, from Pharaoh's command. But amazingly, with God's unique design, Moses grew up right in Pharaoh's house. And the Bible tells us that when he came to age, when he was an adult, the Bible tells us he chose to suffer affliction with the people of God rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. As a young man, Moses chose to follow God. His life took quite a turn, and in fact, at 40 years of age, he fled Egypt, and he ended up tending sheep for about 40 years. At 80 years of age, God directed Moses to return to Egypt and deliver his people. And it's that when the plagues happened, the 10 plagues in Egypt, and Moses led God's people out of Egypt, crossed the Red Sea, and towards the Promised Land. After, I think it's about a year and a half from leaving Egypt, they got to the borderland of the Promised Land. They spied out the land for 40 days. 12 spies. I don't have 12 fingers. They spied out the land for 40 days. Two spies came back with a faith report, Caleb and Joshua. They said, "It's a good land. God's given it to us. God wants us to take that land." And God had given it to them. But 10 of the spies who had gone into the land there for those 40 days, even though they said, "Man, the fruit's good. I mean, it's awesome there, but there's walled cities, there's big giants." I mean, they said, "Man, we can't do this. This is terrible." And they had a faithless attitude, a faithless report. I believe this psalm was written. It's a prayer of Moses, remember? So Moses prayed this, okay? He prayed this from his heart to the Lord. And if you'll remember, as we read this morning the scripture, I'll just pick out a few verses. Notice verse 3, for example, he says, "Thou turnest man to destruction, and sayest, Return, ye children of men." Verse 5, "Thou carriest them away as with a flood." Verse 7, "For we," notice Moses praying, he says, "For we are consumed by thine anger, and by thy wrath we are troubled. Thou hast set our iniquities before thee, our secret sins in the light of thy countenance." Then notice verse 13, "Return, O Lord, how long, and let it repent thee concerning thy servants. O satisfy us early with thy mercy, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days." I believe that Moses prayed this prayer sometime after the spies had gone in. They came back, they were faithless. The majority of the nation of Israel was faithless, and they wouldn't obey God. And God said, "You're going to wander for 40 years. You're going to wander 1 year in the wilderness for every year you spied out the good land. For every day you spied out the good land, you're going to wander for that many years in the wilderness." And I will tell you, it was a sad time in Israel. It really was. They had seen God deliver them from Egypt with a mighty hand. But now, because of their lack of faith, not because of God's lack of power, but through their lack of faith, they missed what God had for them. And it was a place of blessing. It was a place of victory and all of that. And I believe Moses prayed this prayer sometime. I don't know whether it was that same, year or whether it was in the years following, maybe when they were wandering in the wilderness there, that Moses prayed. But I've titled the message, Looking to God in a Dreadful Situation. That's Moses here, looking to God in a dreadful situation. There's some things we can learn in our lives from this prayer. I want you to go to the book of Numbers, and let's go to chapter 14, beginning with verse 11. Numbers 14 and verse 11. We're jumping right into here where the spies had spied out the land, and they've come back with an evil report, except for two, Caleb and Joshua. But notice verse 11 of Numbers chapter 14. And the Lord said unto Moses, How long will this people provoke me? How long will it be ere they believe me? For all the signs which I have showed among them, I will smite them with the pestilence and disinherit them, and will make of thee a greater nation and mightier than they. And so God says, you know, he says what I just read, and then Moses pleads with God, and he says, God, don't destroy your people. I mean, yeah, they're stubborn, rebellious, and faithless. Don't destroy them. Be merciful. And God responds to the intercession of Moses. Notice verse 17. And now I beseech thee, let the power of my Lord be great. Moses is talking to God here. Let the power of my Lord be great, according as thou hast spoken, saying, The Lord is long-suffering and of great mercy, forgiving iniquity and transgression, and by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generations. Pardon, verse 19, pardon, I beseech thee, the iniquity of this people, according to the greatness of thy mercy. And as thou hast forgiven this people from Egypt, even until now, and the Lord said, I have pardoned according to thy word. But as truly as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord, because all those men which have seen my glory and my miracles, which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness, and have tempted me now these 10 times, and have not hearkened to my voice, surely they shall not see the land which I swear unto their fathers, neither shall any of them that provoke me see it. But my servant Caleb, because he was of another spirit, because he had another spirit with him, and hath followed me fully, he will I bring into the land whereinto he went, and his seed shall possess it. Now the Amalekites and the Canaanites dwelt in the valley. Tomorrow turn ye and get you into the wilderness by the way of the Red Sea. And the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, verse 27, How long shall I bear with this evil congregation which murmur against me? I have heard the murmurings of the children of Israel, which they murmur against me. Say unto them, As truly as I live, saith the Lord, as ye have spoken in mine ears, so will I do to you. Your carcasses shall fall in this wilderness, and all that were numbered of you according to your whole number, from 20 years old and upward, which have murmured against me. Doubtless ye shall not come into the land concerning which I swear to make you dwell therein, save Caleb the son of Jephunneh and Joshua the son of Nun. Bring your little ones, which ye said should be a prey. Them will I bring in. Into the land, that is, and they shall know the land which ye have despised. But as for you, your carcasses, they shall fall in this wilderness, and your children shall wander in the wilderness 40 years and bear your whoredoms until your carcasses be wasted in the wilderness. And after the number of the days in which ye searched the land, even 40 days, each day for a year, shall ye bear your iniquities, even 40 years, and ye shall know my breach of promise. This is the context. And I'll read one more verse, verse 35. And I, the Lord, have said, I will surely do it unto this evil congregation that are gathered together against me in this wilderness. They shall be consumed and they shall die. I believe the context of Psalm 90, Moses' prayer, is this scenario. Perhaps later on in the actual wandering there, when Moses saw those who were faithless dying in the wilderness. It was a sad thing. And so now let's go back to our psalm, Psalm 90. And as Moses directs his attention to God and pleads to the Lord, notice what he prays. First of all, I want you to notice his perspective in verse 1. Psalm 90, verse 1. Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations, before the mountains were brought forth. Or ever thou hast formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. You see, Moses was a man of faith. Moses wasn't faithless. Moses said, we should go. We should go and possess the land. This is what God's given us. His power will be with us. Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, both those men who had gone in as spies, said the same thing. We should go take it. God's given it to us. He will give us the victory. Faith. Courage to do the will of God. And you know what? Because of the faithlessness of others, the nation as a whole didn't enter the promised land, and they wandered. But you know, as Moses contemplates this, and as he pleads to the Lord, and he says, Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. I mean, who do we have to turn to but to you, Lord? And as he prays, I want you to understand a lesson in faith and in obedience. As we embark on a new year of life, if God should indeed give us breath, 2019 is upon us. It's at the door. And you know, as we enter into this, I want you to understand the importance of us walking with faith in God and obedience to the Lord. Because without faith, it is impossible to please God. But with faith, we can do the will of God. You see, if you're here this morning and lost without Christ, if you're in your sin, the only way to be saved, the only way to access the cleansing blood, the grace greater than our sin, the only way to access that is by simple faith in God. Taking God at his word, saying, Lord, I believe. I believe who you are. I believe who Jesus is. I believe he indeed did give his life for me on the cross. By faith, we can access that marvelous, matchless grace. But without faith, we'll never get it. As we live the Christian life as a saved child of God, the only way to live a successful Christian life is by faith. You see, the people of Israel could have had blessing that God had for them. They could have had victory over the enemies in that land that God had for them if they would have believed God and stepped forward in obedience. That really is the crux of the matter. God sets before us blessing and a curse, as it were. He sets before us victory or defeat. Victory is found if we walk in obedience and faith to the Lord. Defeat is found when we walk in the flesh and disobedience. And as we embark on a new year, let us remember who God is. Let's have a right perspective. You see, we are so prone to get our compass off, right? You know, if you have a true compass that shows you a direction, that compass can actually, it's actually by the North Pole, by the magnetic pole, is how it is gauged, right? It draws to true north. But you know what? If you take a strong magnet and bring it close to the compass will actually be overcome by that magnet. And sometimes in our lives, instead of keeping our perspective on the Lord and on who he is, our lives are overcome by the cares of this life, that other magnet. And it throws our compass off. It takes our attention. And instead of that, our the guide of our life, as it were, leading us to the Lord and our focus being on the Lord, we're seeing the giants in the land. We're seeing walled cities. We're seeing all of these things that God would give us victory over. And to recognize and have a right perspective. And so the first aspect I want you to notice in Psalm 90 is that Moses prays with a renewed perspective. He says, Lord, you've been our dwelling place in all generations. Verse 2, he says, before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hast formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. A lot of our problems don't seem so big when we get God in our sights. When we really have our perspective right. So as Moses opens his prayer, he recognizes who God is. He recognizes God as the creator, the sustainer of all things. Acts 17, verse 28 says, for in him we live and move and have our being. In him we live and move and have our being. The Apostle Paul preached that message on Mars Hill. In him we live and move and have our being. You see, it's important for us to recognize who God is. And that's what the people who were up there to enter the promised land, that's what they didn't see. They didn't see who God is. They only saw the challenges. They saw the difficulties. They saw, oh man, in that land that God's given us, I mean, there's walled cities, there's giants in that land. We can't take it. They didn't see who God is. They didn't have that in their sights. They were drawn to the difficulty instead of to the Lord. We must keep our focus right. As we enter into a new year, there will be challenges we will face. Let us keep with faith a dependence upon God. Let's keep our God in focus. He is the creator, the sustainer of all. Before the mountains were brought forth, there's God. You know, we think of a mountain, a true mountain, not the Turtle Mountains up here north of us. But you know what? The Rocky Mountains. How many of you have seen real mountains? All right? You know, the real mountains, I mean, they're just rugged. They're just, wow. I mean, they're awesome. Especially, I mean, you can see them from hundreds of miles away sometimes. But when you really get close, you get up in there, it's like, wow. But you know what? Our God is far bigger than those little mountains. Those mountains are, the Bible says before the mountains were formed, there was God. There was God. You see, our God, we sometimes have such a small view of God, but as Moses prays, he gets the perspective right. And as we look to God like Moses did, we can have a renewed perspective as we, with faith, come to the Lord, recognizing who he is, that he is eternal. From everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. You know, the psalmist wrote in Psalm 8, verse 4, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? You know, who are we? And yet, this great God cares for us. The God who created the world, the one who hung the stars in space, he does care for us. And when we exercise faith in him and in his word, he will work. He will do great things for us. So we need to get our perspective right, not only who God is, but who we are. Who are we? I'm a dependent creature. I'm dependent upon God. Anytime a man tries to live independently from God, he's headed for destruction. He's headed for destruction. I am a dependent creature. My understanding is limited, but God is all-knowing. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out Romans 11:33. We are dependent creatures. What is man that thou art mindful of him? We are a temporal creature. A temporal creature. Notice verse 4. It says, for 1,000 years in thy sight are but as yesterday when it is past, and as a watch in the night. But in contrast, our life is short. Notice verse 10. The days of our years are 70 years and 10. That is, a score is 20. And so that would be 60 plus 10. So 70 years. Our days of our years are 70 years. And if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is their strength labor and sorrow. For it is soon cut off and we fly away. Now remember Moses. If my estimation is right, Moses is well into his 80s as he pens these words. Perhaps he could even be in his 90s, for that matter, or even over 100. For 40 years they wandered. And God raised up Moses to deliver his people when he was 80 years old. And so, as Moses, by God's direction, pens these words, he is seeing generations before him perishing, right? And he says, Lord, our days, verse 9, notice verse 9. He says, for all our days are passed away in thy wrath, and we spend our years as a tale that is told. Now, I want you to understand that you know, even though this is a dreadful situation where the context of this prayer is made, it's a dreadful situation that Moses is in with the whole nation there. But the fact of the matter is we don't have to live there. These people were living under the wrath of God because of their faithlessness. They were living in a dreadful situation because of their disobedience to God. But you know what? That's why I'm encouraging you, and that's why the Word of God is encouraging us to have faith in God and to have a tender heart to God. And as we embark on another year of life, let's seek Him, for He is the eternal God. So we need to get our perspective right, number one. Our perspective needs to be right. Who God is, who I am. I'm a temporal creature. I'm a sinner in need of the Savior. Notice verse 8. Thou hast set our iniquities before thee, our secret sins in the light of thy countenance. You know, God knows everything about us. He knows our failures. But He loves us. And He's provided that marvelous grace for us. And so we need to, by faith, access that. Notice also that we are God's servants, verse 13. Return, O Lord, how long, and let it repent thee concerning thy servants. You know, sometimes we get the idea that we're the boss of our life. Well, what do I want to do? 2019's coming, and what do I want to do? That's the wrong question. It really is. Our life is so short. We need to be asking, Lord, what do you want me to do? You see, the people got in this mess because of faithless and disobedience and not really seeing God for who He was. And that's why Moses is praying with a right perspective, and he says, Lord, you are eternal. From eternity past to eternity future, you are God. And we can trust that God. And we can know His blessing. The blessing of His promises. The blessing of His life. The blessing of His victory. The blessing of doing His will. We are His servants. And so as Moses prays, he says there in verse 13, repent thee concerning thy servants. A servant is someone who needs to do the bidding of his master, right? A servant, unless he's a slothful, unfaithful, disgraceful servant, but a servant needs to do the bidding of his master. Well, who's our master? Sometimes we think we are our own master. We need to get the perspective right. Secondly, I want you to notice that we need to get our purpose right. our purpose, our life purpose. Notice verse 7. For we are consumed by thine anger, and by thy wrath we are troubled. Verse 9. For all our days are passed away in thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told. You can kind of see the hopeless condition. In verse 10, the days of our years are 80 years, and if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is their strength labor and sorrow. And you see, it's a miserable place to be when you're not walking in faith and obedience to God. That's what God wants us to learn. And what he does want us to learn is found now in verse 12. This is a key verse for this whole chapter. Verse 12, so teach us. I mean, we have the perspective of who God is, but we have the awful condition described of where the people were. As Moses prays, I mean, we're under the wrath of God. We're, you know, things are just, we spend our life, we're consumed in by thy anger, and our life is like a tale that's told. You know, if we get 70 or 80 years, he says it's just labor and sorrow. And so Moses says, help us to see our purpose. Help us to find our purpose in you. Verse 12, teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. God's desire for us, right here at Victory Baptist Church, God's desire for us is not to waste away in unfruitfulness and disobedience and, you know, no. God's desire is that we, with faith and courage, would trust God, would walk in victory, would be a light in a dark world. But without faith and obedience, we can't be that light. Without faith and obedience, we can't do the will of God, whether it's in our homes. You know what? If we're going to live for God, the only way is by faith. If we're going to please God, it's only by faith and obedience. We need a teachable spirit. Remember who the master is. And so Moses prays, so teach us to number our days. The idea of numbering your days isn't trying to figure out how long you're going to live. The idea of numbering our days. The word numbering is kind of like an accounting, you know, kind of term of let's work the numbers, let's consider, let's make good use of what we have. And so, in other words, let's not waste our days. The same concept is found in the New Testament where it says, redeem the time because the days are evil. It's the idea of making good use of what we have. And so he prays, Lord, teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom, that we would not waste our time, that we would not just spin our wheels through life, but that we would really live to do the will of God. That we would really seek God and walk in obedience to Him. And so, God wants our lives to have purpose. To have purpose. And so secondly there, God will give our life purpose as we look to Him. As we look to God, God will renew our perspective, getting a right view of who God is and a right view of who we are. Also, looking to God will give our life purpose. Purpose. God doesn't want our life to be spent as a tale that's told, but rather a life that's lived to the will of God. And so Moses prays, teach us, Lord, teach us to number our days. The Bible says in Proverbs 12 and verse 1, it says, whoso loveth instruction loveth knowledge, but he that hateth reproof is brutish. He that hateth reproof is brutish. The word, not British, brutish. Brutish is the idea of a brute beast. one that just is wild. It roams wildly. It's a horse that's not tamed. It's no help to anybody, right? It does its own thing. It doesn't listen to any instruction. God says, don't be that way. You know, naturally, every one of us are pretty much brutes. We do our own thing. We go our own way. And that's why we have to purposefully seek God, look to Him, and say, Lord, teach me. Teach me to make good use of my days. Teach me to number my days, that I may apply my heart unto wisdom. Applying our heart. Our heart is really the seat of our emotions. The emotions of your life are the seat of our desires. Are we going to really seek God? Are we going to really seek the things which are above? The Bible says, set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. Set your affection on things above. We need to guide our hearts to follow the Lord. The heart is not something to be followed, but something to be guided. Guided into what is right. To love what God loves. We need to guide our hearts. We need to invest our lives in the will of God, in doing the will of God. And thirdly, when we do this, when we look to God for His perspective, when we look to God to give our life purpose, then we can access God's provision. We can access God's provision. Notice what verse 14 says, Psalm 90, verse 14. O satisfy us early with thy mercy, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Who is the one who's going to extend mercy? Well, God. He says, satisfy us early with thy mercy. You see, notice also in verse 15, he says, make us glad. Where's the gladness going to come from? Well, the joy of the Lord is our strength. The joy of the Lord. Verse 16, let thy work appear unto thy servants and thy glory unto their children. God wants to give us sight that we might understand what he's up to, that we might know his will. And verse 17, let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish thou the work of our hands upon us. Yea, the work of our hands, establish thou it. To establish something means to make it firm, to make it last. You know, if we live our life for ourselves, if we do our own thing, our life will just be wasted. But if we really seek to do the will of God, if we get our perspective right and trust in God's power and His provision, we can see our lives mean something for eternity. The work of our hands can be meaningful forever. And that's what verse 17 talks about, the middle of the verse. Establish thou the work of our hands upon us. Yea, the work of our hands. Make it firm. Make it something that lasts. Make it something that's worthwhile. You know, we should pray that as parents in our homes. The labor we put into our children day in and day out. Lord, make it mean something forever. May we leave an indelible mark for good on the lives of our children as we guide them, as we love them. Psalm 127, verse 1 says, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Sometimes we think, you know, we can do a lot, but what we need to recognize is that without God, we can do nothing. And so, as Moses prayed, we must pray as well. We must seek God, get our perspective right. God will give our life purpose, and we can access God's provision by faith. Without God, 2019 will be a failure. But with God, we can see 2019 be a worthwhile year. A year of blessing, a year of victory. We can see God do great things. We can accomplish His will. Heavenly Father, I thank You for the encouragement in this prayer. Even though it's a kind of a dreadful situation that Moses and the people are in because of a lack of faith and lack of obedience, Lord, help us to learn from this lesson. Instead of going through it ourselves, help us to learn from the failures of these others that we read here about, that we would not be faithless but believing, that we would get our perspective right on who You truly are, that there is no giant, there is no wall too great, but that if it be Your will, we can see it defeated. We can see victory. Lord, I pray that You would continue Your work as we embark on another year of life, that we would number our days, that we would apply our hearts unto wisdom. Lord, I thank You for this. In Jesus' name, amen.